Okay. Ordinances, resolutions, and proclamations.
Move this be first reading of Ordinance 12-20.
Second.
We're just going to let him.
That's fine.
He's got the number out there. Is there a second?
Second.
This is amending Title 15, Buildings and Constructions, by amending
Different
Section
order.
1508-040, minimum fire protection requirements for buildings in the urbanized area, establishing automatic fire extinguishment system grant program. Tim.
This was brought up. This is one of the agenda items at the public safety meeting yesterday. I'd like to just, under 1508-040A, minimum fire protection requirements for buildings in the urbanized area. Urbanized area is not the same as the historic district. The urbanized area pretty much goes along State Street and encompasses the historic district as well. But minimum fire protection requirements for buildings in the urbanized area. Minimum fire protection requirements are in addition to those provided in the International Fire Code and shall apply to buildings within the urbanized areas defined in subsection A. In excess of 500 square feet, they'll have automatic notification system. They don't have to have the sprinkler system in the urbanized area. In the historic district, they do. Mainly because in the historic district, typically it's been no lot lines. It's just property to property, close proximity of buildings, touching buildings, sharing walls, and such. So the historic district, they require a sprinkler system and for this grant to help pay for those. One amendment that we talked about yesterday is on page 3 of 3 under F2, the merit to fund grant application submitted under this program shall be in the following order. A, an order of receipt pending review and approval of applications by the Public Safety Committee. We'd like to add, comma, fire chief and permitting official.
And
is that okay?
If I could just add one more amendment. That I think we talked about yesterday, I think you might have just forgot, on page 2 of 3, if we could just do these amendments together.
It'd be fine.
On page 2 of 3, number 3, where it says exemptions or modifications to the requirements of this section shall be allowed only by issuance of a written exemption or modification to the owner of the buildings, as determined in writing by the building official. Can we strike building official and replace that with permitting official, so as there's no confusion with the building official that the fire department has.
Thanks, Paul. We discussed that yesterday at the meeting as well. And
one amendment modifying 3 general conditions at the beginning and F2A. Is there a motion? Oh, there is a motion between one of the two of you. Who's going to be the second?
Second.
The other one.
Okay, moved and seconded. Roll call on the amendment.
Henry.
Yes.
Hunts.
Yes.
Yes, he said.
Okay. Schaefer.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Reichert.
Yes.
6 yeses. Motion passes.
Okay, return to the main motion. Any discussion?
So is this somewhat, you guys probably mirrored the past program? It looks like to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very similar to the past program. Okay. And there's also...
I see where it changed in excess of 500 square feet, and it's a change,
We were going to strike the 500 square feet, but we put it back in as it was. Because 500 square feet, less than 500 square feet, there's not a whole lot of them, but the space required for a sprinkler system in a tiny little space like that, you're not going to have much space left over. So we're exempting and it was exempted before, if it's less than 500 square feet.
So it's actually the way it was before.
Right.
It's not additional language.
It's not additional or change.
Okay. Any other comments? Paul?
As this is first reading, one of the things that goes along with this, and maybe you're going to mention that, Tim, but on the last round of sprinkler grants, there was a automatic fire extinguishing system grant program guidelines, and we'd like these guidelines to go along with the ordinance, but they need to be cleaned up a little bit, the guidelines themselves, some dates and just some old things, where it talks about city council as opposed to municipality. So we're going to clean that up and attach that with the second reading of the ordinance.
Okay.
That was, yep.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Roll call on first reading of amended ordinance 12-20.
Henry.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Huns.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Reichert.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Okay, first reading of ordinance 12-21, amending title 19 P&Z HDC.
Move for adoption of ordinance number 12-21.
Second.
Moved and seconded, and this is the stuff that, some of the stuff that Sue was talking
about. Yeah, I was hoping, it's in this section here. I had that meeting between Dave and Sue about this issue, the masking thing a while back, and they were tasked out that time to come up with a better definition because of the somewhat of a legal review on whether we can go into somebody's business and tell them what they can or cannot put, inside. There's two ways we can go about this as far as the masking definition. You can either put it in now and make an amendment, put it in now, or we can wait till we get the word back. I guess she said that Dave was supposed to be getting back to her about something. So about that he didn't get back to her about whether he was getting legal review or what, I don't know. So if we did put it in, it would be under 72. She's got the definition wrong. It's 19.10007. It would be 72. I'll just make a motion that we put it in there, and we can take it out next time. But under 72, it would be on page 10 of 13. The definition of masking is covering the interior exterior window so as to block, conceal, or otherwise hide the interior of business as viewed from the boardwalk. Prohibited between May 1st, September 25th. Allowed during the off-season if kept in good repair.
Second.
Okay. Under discussion, then.
So, go ahead, Mike.
It would go past 71, 72 would be masking, and then the numbers consequently would go 73 on down. So they'd have to move.
So mask stays, but it becomes 73.
Masking is not in there right now.
Right, but mask.
Mask
is.
Would stay, so masking would come before that. I believe.
Okay. No, that's fine. Yeah.
So right. She did get that right. The masking point. And then I think that, this is something they've been working on for a while. I'd like to put it in there. We can, like I say, if there's some compelling reason at the second reading that there's some legal issues with it, we can take it back out. So,
I think the main thing with when we went over it last time was legal counsel was recommending that we don't go inside with the 6-inch, but
yeah, right.
Attached to the window, it shouldn't be attached to the window inside or out, and I don't think anybody should have a problem with that because we're trying to alleviate them from blocking view into the store.
Okay. So that would be one amendment. She had another. We already have a motion, a second on that amendment, right?
So. Mm-hmm.
Dan said.
I did.
Let's go. I'll go ahead and let's do this. Let's talk about this next issue separately.
Okay.
It's a different thing altogether.
So, on the amendment of masking,
we're going to add masking.
Motion in a second.
Roll call.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Huns.
Yes.
Reichert.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
No. I believe she was talking about quorum on the other issue. She was talking about quorum. Four members constitute a quorum. So how many? Is it five? The five-person board, right? Or is it
yeah, is it three constitute a quorum, I believe.
Right? In the
Historic District Commission, 1, 2, 3,
oh, there's
four,
a lot.
5, 6, 7.
There was 9.
7.
Now it's 7.
So it's down to 7.
So you need 4 for a quorum.
4 for a quorum. So that she wants to count one of the teleconference attendees as part of the quorum. If I understood her.
Is that,
that's what she said.
Is that what she said? Okay.
1910-045. She'd like us to put 1. I don't know where. Okay, let's see here. It's going to have to be a separate.
A5 on page A5. 3.
4 members.
Under 045.
So you say 3 members of the Historic District Commission must be physically present and, well, how do you say that? Or one, and one would, one, and you, and you, and you,
right. Well, it needs to be changed to 3 members of the Historic Commission must be physically present.
To establish.
And one by teleconference. Or whatever the language is that gets the one allowed by teleconference, if that's what you guys want to do.
Three members of the Historic District Commission must be physically present, and one, I don't know how to put the wording, and one by teleconference.
Maybe at least.
You could write.
At least 3 members of, at least 3 members.
A 4-member quorum.
For a 4-member
quorum. 3 members of the Historic District Commission must be physically present to establish a quorum with the addition of 1 member telephonically.
Yep. Second.
Okay, moved and seconded.
Who's that?
Dan and Tim.
Okay. One by teleconference, telephonically would be, yeah. That's the way it's written in all the
Yeah, others. Emily, you can spruce up the language. You know what we want.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Make me look good, would you?
Okay. Korsmoen.
Yes.
Hans. Schaefer?
Yes.
Reichert?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
Cochran?
Yes.
6 yeses, motion passes.
Is there any other amendments for this first reading? Hearing none, roll call on the main motion to be first reading as amended, Ordinance 1221.
Henry?
Yes.
Cochran?
Yes.
Korsmo?
Yes.
Reichert?
Yes.
Schaefer?
Yes.
Hans? 6 yeses, motion passes.
Okay, first reading of Ordinance 1222, amending Title 19, P and Z, 1912 Historic District.
Move this be first reading of Ordinance 12-22.
Second.
And who's, what is this one about?
We're actually just finally
these are
getting to it, right, Emily, from, it's been, I mean, we went through all these.
This went through.
We went through all these specific affairs, but we were waiting. You know, there was some Historic District Commission had wanted to look. You know, do some further. I don't know. You explain it better than I can. But
when we were doing 1908, there were some issues with some of the language. And,
yeah, and so we.
And so
most of
stalled.
Them seem to be language issues.
Yeah,
not really substantive.
So.
All right, is there any amendments to this, or is this stand on its own?
No.
Roll call, please.
Schaefer?
Yes.
Hans? Henry?
Yes.
Reichert?
Yes.
Korsmo?
Yes.
Cochran?
Yes.
6 yeses, motion passes.
Thank you, Emily. Item D, consideration and citizen participation of resolution number 1218R. This is already on the table. And we'll open it up for a public hearing. Is there anyone who wants to testify to the NOAA Tide Gauge sublease agreement as it's been changed by our attorney today? Is that correct?
Yes.
And White Pass agreed with the language, Jamie? Okay. So close the public hearing, return to consideration of adoption of 1218R.
And so we don't need a motion that's on the table.
No. We need discussion if there's any needed. I think we've beat this up pretty good, and I think we've reached a solution with language that protects us. And,
I'm good.
Roll call.
Cochran.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Reichert.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Hans. Schaefer.
Yes.
6 yeses, motion passes.
And I'm assuming, Jamie, you'll get a hold of Rosa. Alrighty, unfinished business, Chamber of Commerce request for funding, dissolution, or absorption. I had asked this be held off until Assemblymember Huns could be on the, I didn't know he was going to be on the phone, but so that he could participate. We've all had this letter from the Chamber for right at the 6-week mark, and if you notice the attachment from April 5th, 2011, that the Assembly gave the Chamber $45,000 at that time. And Jamie, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I need to ask a question. When we gave $45,000 to the Chamber in 2011, which would have been fiscal year 12 dollars, that was designed to last for a year, which, you know, would have been this last June 30th, where that money would have expired, and then we gave another 22.5, which would have been half of what we'd given the time before, and then less than 60 days after we're in that new budget period, that 22.5 wasn't going to be able to carry you any farther than now, or.
When we first approached the Assembly in 2011, the $45,000 that we asked for was for the salary for a full-time office manager. And basically, since I guess it was 7 years ago when Sharon Bolton had sort of wanted to pursue her own business and decided that the Chamber, you know, had to grow wings and try and succeed without being in her place of business so that she could focus on her business. And she also wanted to remove herself from being our bookkeeper. So for the last 7 years, she's still trying to remove herself. And, you know, now that we've got Blaine, she doesn't have to come to the rescue. Because we can afford this, or last year could afford this full-time office manager. The issue being now is that when we found out that we weren't going to be funded the whole $45,000, and we made some attempts, some membership drives, tried out a couple of other fundraisers, and realized that we were in a nickel-dime situation where the things that we're trying aren't working. And looking at our budget, we realize that we have basically until April, if things continue the way that they're going, before we can't continue to pay an office manager anymore, and we end up in the same boat that we've been in year after year after year, struggling to find, you know, to find funding. And it's been something that the directors have talked about, and out of all fairness towards the office manager that we've hired, we need to know whether or not we're going to spend the next 6 or 7 months doing paperwork and handing off events to another organization and closing down the Chamber, or whether or not we can continue to support a full-time office manager and carry on and give ourselves more opportunities to raise money. But it's been an absolute struggle for 6 or 7 years, and the problem being that we weren't surviving with a part-time office manager either, because we can't afford to pay somebody who has the ability to be our accountant and our bookkeeper for $25,000 a year. But it's a 40 hours a week sort of job, and the people that we were hiring part-time to cover this stuff weren't capable of handling the workload, and we are getting ourselves into trouble with financing and things being done wrong or not done at all, and that's why we came to you guys in 2011 and asked for the money so that we could hire somebody who was competent and that could carry us along. But even with all the help of the directors, we just without punishing our membership and raising dues again, we haven't been able to come up with a grandiose money-making idea that would cover that full-time office manager position. So if I can answer any other questions for
Assembly, you. I'm just throwing it open to you guys. Go ahead and go ahead, Tim.
Well, also, I just was made aware, and I don't know if it's factual or not, that you haven't been paid for the fireworks for the 4th of July yet from the city. That the chamber already paid the bill, but hasn't been reimbursed from the city, from the original funding.
That I don't know. I'd have to check with the office administrator to make sure.
Maybe
to see if we've recorded anything in our...
Okay, maybe the city manager can get with the treasurer and see if that has happened.
Regardless, we budgeted for that, so
right.
Though I appreciate
it
that.
It indicates that they got $12,000 on this.
2012?
Professional expenses projects, annual and special. And this is through the 12th of August. I'm sorry. Through the 17th of August, 2012, they show that they got $12,000, which is 100% of what they budgeted to receive. And this year, the current fiscal year 13 that we're in, our budget allocation for fireworks is $13,000. Which, for my input on the fireworks part of it, we would probably be okay if the chamber did decide to close its doors. We could probably give that money or do something with Hamilton to get as good a fireworks show as we have, with giving half to, or giving 12 to the chamber and then Hamilton doing his own thing. But we did, this indicates that we did give the $12,000 to the chamber this year, this calendar year.
I think it's been a struggle to get people to understand or to value the things that the chamber does for this community, and it's a shame, I think. But at this point, I've done what I can do, and I've tried to make people aware of it. And basically, if we don't receive the funding, just for your information, we will be closing our doors and rerouting these events and things elsewhere. And I don't know if the assembly or the municipality would be able to take on any of these duties, whether it be...
Tim?
Well, we asked the chamber in the past to come up with a solution, and they've given us some ideas. I hate to see the chamber fold because they are an asset to the community. The things that they do are going to fall on CBB or City Hall, and one of the possible solutions that they suggested was raising the business license to help fund the chamber a certain percentage, and possibly that could keep them going. We could try that. But if not, I think we're going to end up incurring a lot more cost internally than what it costs now to keep a person on full-time for $45,000. That's right now, the American Legion donates the office space to the chamber. And I need to clarify something, because currently the SDC is saying they're paying the Legion, or the American, the SDC is paying the chamber's rent. And that's not the way it is. They sublet to the SDC. SDC pays the chamber for their rent. The chamber's rent is being donated by the American Legion. And so the American Legion has also
So the budget's not correct then? The profit and loss statement is not correct then?
It is not correct.
It shows that the chamber pays $6,000.
The chamber pays with a check. They receive some funding from the SDC to help. And I think there was some miscommunications because the SDC is...
So they do pay.
They receive funds from the SDC for rent.
So it shouldn't be part of the budget money that we allocate. It's confusing to me then.
Dan? Yeah, I think we're getting off track here rather than doing an exhaustive audit of the budget here. The question at hand is, do we wish to fund further than April 1 the Chamber of Commerce of Skagway?
Right.
Yes or no?
Yep.
That's what we're here for. So regardless of who's doing the fireworks and whether the rent's this way, that way, American Legion and so forth,
yeah,
you challenge yourself with the question of whether you want to fund the Chamber of Commerce.
I have talked to quite a few people about, you know, looking at other options and the other options that are listed here, such as the business license thing, and there are not very many people I know that are really all that excited about being forced to pay through the business license to keep it going. I mean, not because of just the fact they don't, you know, somebody gets a chamber, it's just they don't want to be forced to do that through a business license. So that's it.
Dave, you got some thoughts?
Yes, I do. Chamber's asking us to assist them in funding. We're not funding them 100%.
That's what
we are. Up to the city to absorb them when we at least double income, right? Or what they actually do with the city organization. We can create more year-round business.
Turn him up.
Tell him to move in his location.
Hey, are you on a cell phone, Dave?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
right there when you responded, we could hear you, but prior to that, it was in and out. Maybe.
Okay, well,
that's better.
That's all I got.
No. Okay.
We just turned you up, so. We missed the last part of what you said.
Cost for the city of Thornburg would be at least double, if not more, than the services that they provide. With more year-round businesses, the park chamber, then they become less likely to become paying assistance in funding. The number of seasonal businesses that do like Skagway, but they do not support the chamber. In the future, the possibility of the chamber becoming self-supporting in the future, but they need some help right now, and that's what we think should be looking at, helping them get over the hump and get, once we start getting some more year-round businesses, they'll become self-sufficient again. And they're constantly trying to reach that goal.
Okay, we're losing you again, Dave.
But I think we got it this time.
I think we understand now. But okay, anyone else?
Well, the Southeast Conference definitely acknowledged that chambers are very important in communities, and Shelley Wright actually made a point to say that at conference. So consider that. Somebody else is going to have to do the work. I don't think we truly appreciate, even I don't truly understand how much they do, but I think they do quite a bit. I think we should find a solution to fund them. We certainly have the money. You know, we collect sales tax for doing all sorts of things.
Right.
Go ahead.
I think my only issue is that we spend $460,000 a year with the CBB. We spend $92,000 a year with HDC. This year we put 22.5 into the chamber. On top of that, we've given $13,000 to the chamber, or we're going to, for fireworks. The city seems reluctant to change our $10 business license to a different amount to perhaps include a chamber membership with it. I know I tried at least three times this summer to get the chamber to do some proactive things, like meet with the post office, to have the post office consider them as a postal arm here, and for reasons that I'm not sure, the chamber didn't want to meet with the post office. I made arrangements for the chamber to come and speak with Senator Begich's staff that was here, and they wouldn't do that. So I'm concerned, and I respect Jamie doesn't want to ask the existing businesses for an increase in the cost of a membership, but I'm wondering, and I don't know if it's been tried, but could the chamber offer a seasonal membership to some of these seasonal businesses at, say, $70? And try and get more people to buy into that?
I don't think it's been tried, to tell you the truth, the seasonal membership thing. But I also, and it's something that we could definitely try. I can go back to the chamber with that, and we'll try everything that's suggested to us. Doesn't solve the problem for us in the short term because we'll run out of money before the beginning of next season anyways. But yeah, I mean, we can try that.
In my opinion,
$150, even for a small business, like mine personally, that does nothing but lose money, is, if somebody's willing to pay the $70, in my mind, they're willing to pay the $150, but
I can't
it's something
argue,
we'll try.
I can't argue that
it's
point.
We'll try.
The only thing that I'm suggesting is that for some reason, the bulk of the businesses in town, you get, what, 100 memberships?
123, I think.
Okay, 123, and we issue 460 business licenses.
Right.
So, I mean, you're not even getting 25%.
Right.
So that means that something's broken beyond what we can fix, I think. I think that's what it's doing. And, you know, maybe a seasonal membership. The assembly doesn't seem to want to do the business license increase. But what I think I'd like to do is see if there's a chamber board member that wants to meet with me and Buckwheat and see if we can come up with a plan that will dissolve the chamber into the CBB.
Right. I did that last year with Mayor Cochran and Buckwheat.
Right. I talked to Buckwheat tonight, and I think I'd like to give that another go. So if you can go back to the chamber, if the assembly is willing to allow me to do this, go back to the chamber and get a board member that would be able to meet with Buckwheat and I.
Sure, I'd do it.
And go from there. Dan?
I think we've gone as far as we can go in these discussions. They vacillate around the same subject matter at all times. To increase business licenses that's the equivalent of holding a gun to the head of each business person to join the chamber. If they saw benefit being a member of the chamber, they would do so. Jamie's spot on with the seasonal fee of 70 versus 150. Even a small business, if they're going to see benefit, they would move from the $70 seasonal figure to the typical year-round of 150. The ads that I run for the fish company in the Skagway News are not large ads. They're about an eighth of a page. They run me about $125 a pop. I see value in that. I get response from that. I get return from that. So it's an easy correlation, as is a lack of bang for the buck, if you will. Is the correlation here. The primary function of a chamber of commerce
as the concept was developed in the 1920s in the state of Illinois, was to lobby the state legislature to expand business. And that is their primary function. It's great that on the periphery they do these other things involving clean sweep and being involved with the 4th of July. I believe Assembly-elect Member Hansen can speak to who was running clean sweep for many, many years. Maybe we need to do things that will create more of an atmosphere of getting back to our volunteerism, which is the backbone of this community. When I first arrived in this community, I was challenged with being the chair of the community and social welfare at the Elks Lodge. That was my thank you for becoming a member. And that put me in a position to run, the arm wrestling, the egg toss, the horseshoe, the this, that, the other thing. So it was parceled out. So that participation can be, again, I feel, done within the community. As the mayor has mentioned, the Hamilton construction crew has done a better job with fireworks. So, you know, you look around, and what you really look to, or at least what I do as a business owner, is what are my benefits for my membership fee? If I saw benefits, I would be still a member instead of 8 years to date not being a member, and it's just that simple. So I know that Jamie Bricker and those that have served on the board have put a tremendous amount of energy in trying to make things happen, and I thank them for that, but I also understand from having been involved on numerous committees, you get an attachment to those committees, and you feel, you know, in some part that it's part of what you do and what you're recognized for. So I certainly can appreciate the fact she doesn't want to see it dissolved. But for the city's money, for the sake of the members, I think there's a less antiquated approach to what one receives from the current chamber. And I think we have a time sitting in front of us where we need to go in a different direction. That's where my support is.
Just for people, you know, we brought up all this. I mean, we brought this stuff up before. I supported the chamber funding last year with the idea that they were going to try to figure out a way to come up with the funding. I do believe that chambers need to be separated from municipal governments. They have served different purposes, statewide chambers and local chambers. They, you know, sometimes we're not even at cross purposes. So I believe that in my mind, and it's just something that's stuck in my head, that there needs to be a separation. So agreed to kind of help fund it and then partially fund it this year, just hopefully that they, you know, could come up with some ideas to try to get the funding. I know for a fact that there is some businesses and local businesses that, you know, the director or whoever will not go in to solicit, memberships from either. So, it's a tough situation, but there is, you know, some businesses that, you know, even locally year round that don't want to necessarily support the chamber. If there was some way to put it on the business license that because it's a business license and it's a chamber's kind of deal, but if you could say, you know, would you be willing to support the chamber as a side note, but not forcing people to pay extra money to contribute directly to the chamber, then I'd be for something like that. But not as a direct payment from a business license to the chamber. I would not be for that, because then you're really forcing people to choose whether they want to be a member or not. And it should be supported by the businesses, and it's sorry that it isn't, and it's too bad that we have a lot of these seasonal businesses that won't contribute to it. I've thought about the different ways that there could be funding, you know, brought in, but I don't know. I'm willing to stay with the 22, you know, the half the money that we gave them this year, and that's where I'm willing to go with it. And I was hoping that, you know, there would be some solutions to that didn't require us to fully fund a person running the chamber. So that's my two cents.
Paul, do you have any comments?
Just kind of say that I supported funding it last year with the same thought that there was going to be some changes made to get them on their feet. I can't see continuing that on year after year. And the 22.5 is one thing, but I can't go beyond that.
Do we get $92,000 worth of value out of our money that we give to the Skagway Development Corporation? Dan?
That question was posed to me during the finance meeting. My response was, I am going to have no reaction whatsoever to what my feelings are or support or lack of support to the chamber based on what I do with any other business entity, anything else within the city. I'm not going to base a decision of support because somebody does great, does poorly over here, so thereby I'm going to base that I should do more or less over there. I'm focused specifically on the question that is in front of me, which is, do I want to continue funding the chamber? And my answer to that question is no.
If you want me, I can go over in about 45 minutes about that if you want to talk about SDC and the,
no,
the report.
No, I guess my question was looking for monies that we put into development of businesses, whatever it is, whether it's the money that we spend, the $460,000 that we spend at the CVB level, the $92,000 that we spend at the HDC or the SDC level, the $22.5 that we spend at the chamber level, is that the best utilization of all those monies? I'm pretty sure, and this is why I brought up my idea of having me work with a committee through Buckwheat and a chamber board member to come up with a way to segue from the chamber into some other entity, whatever that entity is. Maybe it ends up that the Skagway Development Corporation is part of that solution. And with what Dan said, I better not go that direction, I guess, because that's not a solution that he would support.
Well, I'm just saying if the mayor's choice is to do as you have laid out through the CVB, I certainly would support that. I support anything that's trying to be a positive move. But I am also proactive enough to know that I need to cut fish or not.
Well, it's the business here.
Fish or cut bait.
That's the business here.
That's the business.
I'd be interested in seeing the solutions that you potentially come up with.
We can deal with those after this decision.
Yeah.
If you want to disband it, do that, and don't push it off on the CVB or City Hall, because that's just saying they've been sitting there with spare time on their hands, being funded, to think that somebody else can just take it up. Dave's right. Somebody else is going to pick up the cost if the function goes on, and therefore you're funding it.
I don't disagree with that. The issue that I would like to be able to pursue is we know that it costs $45,000 to fund the chamber employee right now. How far would that $45,000 go if it was spent at the CVB level? I don't know the answer to that. I can't give you an answer tonight. I was hoping I would be able to have the chance to see what I could find out.
And I agree, you should.
And I would also want to know what the 22.5 would give us through the CVB. There has to be a time, and I know Jamie could tell me, but there has to be a time in the chamber where the intensity of the work that is done at the chamber has peaks and valleys. It has to happen. Just like maybe not quite as drastic as the CVB, but there has to be ups and downs where over a period of time you can get more work done with less people or less work done. Whatever you're going to spend, but I don't know that until I've got Buckwheat at least willing to talk about it, and I think I heard Jamie say she's willing to figure out some way to get somebody that can be part of that team with me and Buckwheat. And that's all I'm asking. We can come back here, and I've heard and I don't know what, and I don't want Gary and Steve to commit where they are with this, because that's not fair to the process. If one of them comes to the next meeting after they're sworn in and say, oh my God, we're going to give the chamber $45,000, and they can get enough votes up here to do that, then more power to them. But I can't wait for that to happen. I need to, let's proactively see what we can do. So either give me the permission to do it or tell me to go dry up. Dan.
I'd like to make a motion that we fund the CV, the Chamber of Commerce through the end of the fiscal year of 2013.
Second.
Possible. Under the discussion, of course, we have to have a positive motion or a motion in the form of a positive to try and take action here. I think at this point we need to try and take some action. So that's the reason for the motion.
And the motion would be?
To fund them through, and that, we have funding right now through April 1st, correct?
We've already.
Or your cycle is October, April, which is why
we're. January through. December, like our year, you mean?
Yeah, your year. We're June.
Right.
Our fiscal.
And we've already received a check, as far as I know, from the chamber for the.
I understood that there was funding through April 1st.
The original.
As far as what we've got budgeted, what we've got left in our operating account, we figure we can survive until April, May. And that's why we're coming to you now, because when we hit April, May, if nothing changes, then it's the beginning of the season. And
so the reason for under discussion, the reason for my motion through June 30th would be through our fiscal. So we would end up then doing, if we pass the motion, we would then fund the balance.
2 months.
Well, 3 months, April, May, and June, through the end of the fiscal. We do a budget amendment for that, okay, and then deal with their budget forward from there if the motion passes.
So. And this is separate, just, you know, I mean, from our discussion with you to go on. I mean, this, we'll have that, I mean, we still have to decide what, yeah.
But they have nothing to do with each other.
Tim, did you have your hand up?
Just for Assemblymember Henry's edification and history lesson, local chambers have been in existence since 1825, and it started in Boston by Senator Daniel Webster. So.
I would beg to differ.
Missed by 100 years, Dan.
I got to do some more homework.
Shall we entertain the question?
So, Dave, did you understand the motion?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. We have a motion on the table to fund the chamber until June 30th, 2013, which I would assume, if you have enough money to last until April, that would be potentially maybe $10,000 to
$15,000
addition. Whatever it is. Yeah. We'll have to figure that out.
Question.
Okay, roll call on the motion, please.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Korsmo.
No.
Cochran.
Yes.
Henry.
No.
Huns. Reichert.
No.
There is a tie, 3 yeses, 3 noes. Mayor, would you like to vote?
I would like to vote, but I'd like to deliberate just a little bit, not expecting this to happen, of course. I think there's still a way that needs to be pursued before we do this, so I will vote no.
3 yeses, 4 noes, motion fails.
So now I would like permission to.
Do you have my permission?
No objection.
Any objection, Dan?
No objection.
Paul? Okay, so you would tell the chamber that we would like to have the mayor, the CBB director, and a member of the chamber board discuss a plan of action for the continuation, transfer, dissolution of the chamber.
I appreciate
that. Okay. All right, we've already done new business item number A, which.
Careful. That was Mr.
Oh, that was Mr. Reichert?
Yeah, yeah. I just got to point it out.
As I was so noticed that I didn't do that in the right order a couple of different times. So we're done with A. B, you've got Buckwheat's request that we stick with the $1,000 funding. Is that the wishes of the assembly?
I'm fine with that.
No objection.
I'd like this, an explanation of why we should, don't need to go anymore. So it doesn't really.
Dave, are you okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. So $1,000 is what we'll do, Emily.
Okay.
Award of Municipal Project Representative RFPs. Mr. Manager, what's this all about?
Thank you,
were there.
Sir. Yeah. We did receive four proposals. The scoring committee met, and after review, in essence, it was determined that we already have in place a construction admin services for both the Boat Harbor project and the library project, and furthermore, an additional project management oversight agreement with Dr. Chad. That's due to expire at the end of October. The committee recommend that we be authorized to negotiate an amendment to Dr. Chad's agreement to include project observation and inspection and probably extend that agreement beyond October 31st. Thank you.
Okay, what's the Mike?
I agree with that. I was on the committee. After looking through all the applications, there seemed to be a slight conflict everywhere we went with the applicants. And so when they came up with the idea, I think the mayor actually came up with the idea of looking at extending, looking at having Dr. Gubala do oversight. He's already, involved with us. If we can work that out, I think that's probably a cleaner way. If we would have had this thing set up prior to having these projects and off the ground, or we wouldn't, I would have pushed harder to make sure that we have a little more separation. We had a rep for these projects. Well, we should have done it a long time ago, but we do have Dr. Gubala on. I think he's, proven himself to be, capable of doing it. If this route works, after you have to have some discussion with him about it too. I don't know if you've had any preliminary discussion with him about doing this, but hopefully he'll be agreeable to it.
Emily was good enough to remind me that we should probably have a motion to reject the bids also.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is there a motion to reject all bids?
I just had one comment, Your Honor, and that was the SRM is going to be here 5-7 days physically, and Dr. Chad is going to have monitors and monitor from afar at times. So, just a comment that he's not going to be here on site all the time.
Chad is.
Chad is not.
Correct.
But the SRM is a very low bid, and he's going to be here 5 to 7 days, 12 hours a day.
Right.
Or up to 12 hours. That's just a comment that.
Right. When we went through the proposals, just so you're aware, we had judged Meridian to be non-responsive.
Mm-hmm.
We judged PCC to have a conflict because of their employment with URS. We judged SRM to have a conflict because he's the chairman of the Harbor Advisory Board. And if possible, that could have been overcome, but we decided that it was
a situation that
we already had this in place.
Yep.
What I want to know from the manager is he has a bid here. Chad has a bid of X, whatever it is.
$115,000.
I just want to make sure that the cost of the negotiated extension to his current contract does not exceed the value of what this is in terms of.
That's a really good point. We did talk a bit on that when he's down to do the water sampling and the other things, 2 days ago. And I asked him, if and when this is authorized, that we're going to want to see a cost worksheet, from him outlining what he estimates the number of hours, cost per hour and such, so we go in knowing what the total amount is, because I know in the past we've have had open-ended engineering services agreements that have cost the municipality hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I know. Okay, good points, Tim, though. Is there a motion to reject all bids?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we reject all bids on the municipal project representative.
And then do we need a motion or just a no objection to moving forward with Mr. Gubala?
I think we've already done that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, let's okay. Let's,
first
let's,
things first.
Let's deal with this. Yeah. Roll call on to reject RFP for project representative.
Cochran.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Reichert.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Hunts.
Said yes.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Okay. So now we'll look for a motion to grant an extension that's negotiated between the manager and Dr. Chad Kubala.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. And this would be presumably a length of contract. So we're looking at May for both projects.
Mm-hmm. November to next November, something like that. Whatever the assembly wants.
Well, I mean, I think both projects are, hopefully they're done in May.
Yeah, both projects are done in May.
Yeah, November to May is 6 months.
Yeah.
Half year.
I would give a six-month contract.
6 months?
Yeah. You said November 1st is the expiration, or end of October is expiration?
End of October.
So, yeah, 6 months is fine.
Okay, 6 months.
Roll call.
Hunts.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Schaefer.
Yes.
Korsmo?
Yes.
Cochran?
Yes.
Reichert?
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Okay, thank you, Emily. Award of Skagway Boat Maintenance Building Shell Request for Bids. We have a request to decline the bids. Is that right, Tom?
Or have a discussion about it?
Yes, sir, unless the Assembly wants to have a budget amendment of about $170,000.
We should bring it back.
We have
this line item's $200,000.
We have $200,000 in budgeted.
Right.
The low bid was $369,000.
All right. Is there a motion to reject all bids?
Wait.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Dave.
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to abstain because my company was one of the companies that submitted a proposal for this building.
Okay. Everybody's nodding yes.
I move to decline all the bids.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we decline all bids as requested by the manager.
For the maintenance building.
For the maintenance building for the harbor.
We kept the maintenance funding on the CIP list, didn't we? Did we keep that building on there or did we take it off? I'm just curious now.
It's off.
I think we took
it off. Too bad. We should have left it. I mean, I'm just not knowing that bids are going to come in that way. I mean, it's not a big chunk of change, but I just like to tell you guys how excited a lot of people are about that building, fishermen included.
Yeah, yeah.
There's really a huge interest in it. So it's almost like, almost, you know, it might just, but that's too big of a budget amendment.
That's a lot
for me right now. But, I mean, it'd be tempting to try to figure out the funding if there was any funds available for that.
Is there any cost savings out of the harbor that could pay for this?
And that's the only thing I'm wondering, you know. It's like,
but I mean, let's go ahead and do this, but let's not change the budget. Leave
well,
the $200,000
will sit there until next June,
right,
anyways.
Right. But I mean, if we save $300,000 in the harbor, I mean, then we can look at this again.
Okay.
But
we have to wait and see that. Yeah, I guess. Okay.
And I don't want to tie them together yet.
Okay.
So okay, roll call on rejecting all proposals on the harbor shell building.
Henry.
Yes.
Hunts.
He's abstaining.
Oh, sorry. Schaefer.
Yes.
Korsmo.
Yes.
Reichert.
Yes.
Cochran.
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Okay. West Creek planning discussion. Mike?
And I was kind of curious when I asked Emily, but I very rarely have ever seen someone put an assembly member's name next to an agenda item. I mean, if we're going to do that, then I want every time somebody suggests to put an agenda item on there, I want their name next to it. It's kind of interesting. Maybe people were confused. I wasn't trying to confuse this with today's planning, but I'm just a little bit kind of, you know, concerned about that. I mean, you know, I don't know why it got put on there, but it's kind of strange to me. I've never seen that before. The assembly member's, you know, name put next to it like that, even though it was my suggestion. And the reason I brought it up, I had nothing to do with, you know, just timing-wise, we've been talking about it for since the last budget cycle that we started doing some work out there on looking at, you know, we put the bridge out there, we started doing work. I was pretty involved with it when I was, you know, Parks and Rec chair. I think that we put $30,000 in, Paul?
Yep.
West Creek Planning, and this doesn't circumvent the hydro discussions today or anything, but I would like us to start that process. Potentially, we could look at maybe using Barb, just like we're using her
Seven Pastures.
Seven Pastures. I mean, I think she might have helped with the survey. Actually, she's very aware of the situation out there. And I did get a fly over there today with everybody, and even the look was kind of interesting because it was a great little overview. I've flown over there once before, but I haven't flown over there since really we put the bridge in, and there's still some really cool possibilities for linking some trails that wouldn't even necessarily, we know that for one thing that the feasibility study and the West Creek Hydro thing is a little ways down the road anyway, but. If you were to, look at putting out a plan together that would meld, potential future uses, no matter what, you could have it set up where you could still, put trail systems in and stuff that would not be a conflict later or, whatever. But I think that we need to move forward with this. There's been a lot of people. I'm not sure what's going on out there right now. When I was involved with it, we put the bridge in. There was a little road across the thing that definitely turned into a big mud bog, and I know there's always been an issue with tree cutting and all that, this and that. There's a lot of people that want to use West Creek for a lot of different things, but it is one of our coolest recreation areas that you can get away in town, and like I say, I don't know if in future projects out there will necessarily take away from that, but we should start planning for the other parts of that use of that area. Like trails and stuff. That since we started it and we never finished it. So.
From a ground view today, it would sure be nice if we would think we could see some grading or gravel money. I mean, it about knocked that Explorer off.
Oh, on the main road.
Frame.
On the main road.
God.
Oh, it's really getting bad again. Because it wasn't bad when they first.
No, it's. When you get up just about to the bridge, then all the way up.
Oh, okay.
You're in foot deep potholes, yeah. And I mean you're going all over the road. I don't know if we've had it graded, or if we can even get it graded, but it needs some attention, or we need to hope for a really really hard winter after it rains once, so we have all the potholes filled in with ice.
But I don't know if that much work got passed in there. But I wouldn't mind. I mean, if Paul, if they don't mind me working with you and taking this to Parks and Rec, I'd love to do it that way.
No, and I was going to say, maybe we should have talked about this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Seven Pastures master plan.
Yeah, and, I forgot to bring it up.
If it's not too late, if the Assembly doesn't mind, if we could approach Barb and ask her if, we can dovetail this in with other planning that she's doing for the city. If we're going to bring her up here to do work.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea, Paul.
We've got the money in the budget, which is exactly what we put it in there for, was to do West Creek planning.
I forgot to bring it up last meeting. I was going to bring it up. I talked to Paul about it. I was going to bring it up about the Seven Pastures stuff, and I just...
Well, we have $59,000 in this budget right now for West Creek feasibility that we started using today without having the money come in from the grant, because we're going to have to revisit that in our next budget cycle because we won't even get the money until fiscal year 14.
Yeah.
So you have a pot of money now that you could do a lot of stuff with up there, but specifically a land use plan.
Yeah, and that's what.
Well, I think we have a separate line item.
Oh, for
yeah, we do.
We have put $30,000 in this year in this fiscal year budget
for this
specifically. So, if the Assembly doesn't mind, if the manager could broach that subject with Scheinberg.
Have you talked to Barb yet about the Seven Pastures
stuff?
Okay.
Getting the agreement together. I'll give Barb a call tomorrow.
Where was that?
No objection here.
No objection. It's in there, though.
Yeah, okay. That's what we're going to do. No objection from everybody. Dave, you got an objection to that?
So that $30,000 is actually money. It's just about for an RFP.
Okay. Dave wants us to go out for an RFP. Did we do an RFP with Barb for the seven passes?
No.
And what, does, what was that?
18,000 or something.
Well, find out what Barb will charge us. Yeah. Then we'll determine whether we need to go out for an RFP or not, because we didn't do it for seven pastors.
If it's below
25 grand, then I think we're okay.
Yeah, that's
let finance deal with it.
Okay, so that takes Dave's concern into consideration as well. Okay. I would like to cancel the executive sessions for this evening, primarily because we have two new assembly members that I'm unable to bring into executive session to bring them up to speed. So I would like to schedule it for the next meeting. I would like permission, and I think I can do it executively, but I'd like to tell you that I'd like to contact Eugene and tell him that we will be discussing his letter of intent at the 18th meeting rather than having discussed it this evening. And the language that has been developed by our attorney that you all should have in your confidential packets is information that he has reviewed, and we need to speak with him about it. Is everybody okay with those? With that change?
Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
Okay. I think it's appropriate.
And Dave couldn't have contributed anyway.
No. Yeah, Dave would have had to back off.
I mean, I would have, you know.
I would have liked to have gotten the last two shots with the, you know, the opinions from both Tim and Dave. But
they're I think it makes sense. They're certainly in possession of this information. They certainly can leave us a note. And after Gary and Steve are sworn in, please see that they get those confidential packets, Emily. And when do they get sworn in?
Next meeting.
On the 8th.
On the 8th.
Monday.
Oh, on Monday following. Okay.
All right. That's Thanksgiving. It's in Canada. Never mind.
Okay. Do we have to? Is that so we all supposed to be here for that?
You don't have to be.
No, they just are able to officially take their oath on Monday.
So if we have a special meeting next week, they're included in it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, so let's move on to mayor and council discussion. I have two things. One, my deepest gratitude to Tim and to Dave for their years of service. I know from experience what it's to be on the assembly and the council, and I know that it's all hard work. I'm pretty sure I make around 13 or 14 cents an hour. as the mayor, but I appreciate that, don't get me wrong. And I know that you can never get paid for what you do give to the community, both of you, both in your personal life and your political life. So thank you from me. I really appreciate your help. I was approached by Bob and Anna Groff about the replica coach that they have, that they had made by... I don't know who made it, but it was made back in Tennessee, and they brought it up here, and I believe they hooked up plastic horses to it originally.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a replica of Harriet Pullen's coach, and they want to sell it to the city. And I don't know whether we should put that at the museum board. You know, they have other things in the museum that I suppose could be considered replica type items. I don't know if they have an acquisitions fund or a budget. And I'm also going to talk to Mike Trunnell about it tomorrow at the park. I mean, it really needs to be hooked up to live horses, but I don't think we can do that anymore. I think we've got the grandfathered Norwegian fjords, and that's it. But anyway. I want that in the record that I brought it forward. Emily, if you could pass that on to Judy to see if she has any interest. I will talk to Mike Trunnell tomorrow, see if he has any interest, and then that's all I've got. Dave, you're next.
For the last 15 years, it's been a place to honor the work, place to the city. not great. Boat Harbor is not great. Alaska Creek paving with finished street paving in all the states. The direct center, which we started years ago, and we keep putting money in for improvement. I think that's been an asset.
Thank you very much, Dave. Tim?
Thank you, Your Honor. We don't always agree, but it's been a pleasure to serve with all you guys and serve the public, and that was my way to give back. And I'm going to look forward to some free time with my son in his senior year of high school. I will probably be a fixture at the back like I have been the 7 years prior to the last 3 years up on here on the bench. So definitely be in the audience. And thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Tim. Mark?
Well, I'll second that. Thank you to Dave and Tim. You guys have said a lot about that already. So just thanks. I appreciated working with you guys. And the only other thing I have is that Mike, Dan, and myself will need to get together, set a meeting date sometime for manager. We don't have to do it tonight necessarily, but let's not forget we got that.
Mm-hmm.
My last week was busy. I was down in Craig, but we just got to keep our eye on that and get something going on.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Dan?
First off, again, I'd like to echo thank you very much to Assembly Member Tim Cochran for doing a great job on Assembly, and we all know the amount of time that's involved. Big thanks to Dave Huns. I came on Assembly 1 year after Dave did, and it seems like an eternity. So for him, it's really got to seem like a long time. It's a lot of years, and thank you for your service to your town, Dave and Tim both. I hope you enjoy your Thursday evenings elsewhere. Except Tim says he's going to be here, so glutton for punishment. The only other thing I have is, as I mentioned, I spoke with Jim Hemseth this afternoon. We touched on a few things. He's still working on getting some information as to what sort of fit and at what level our proposal to him was, and how it's potentially can move in the future. And we're going to talk again here sometime next week, so hopefully we'll have some more forward movement. But from our discussion today, I felt that there was forward movement, and I'll speak to him next week and report on it at executive session at the next meeting.
Thank you, Dan. Mr. Korsmo.
First off, once again, like everybody else, I'd like to thank both Tim and Dave. Have been, on the Assembly. I took a year off, but I don't know. I think it's 11 years. I'm starting to lose track. But I've done some really great projects with Dave over the years. We've got a lot of really cool projects done, and it was great having his expertise up here through a lot of those projects. We really used him, as an asset quite a few times. Because there are a lot of construction projects we were doing, there was a lot of things that happened. I know there's been a lot of things that happened and changes in this community. Those last several years or last many years that Dave was on here, and they were really nice things for the community. This community is held up as a pretty it's held up high by a lot of people when they come here and see the stuff that we've accomplished. So, it took all of us to do it, and I appreciate that. And then It's been fun the last few years, Tim. You probably work harder, I gotta say, than probably any Assembly member, and it's great. It's great been working with you, and I'm hoping that when you get done with taking the care of the kids, that you maybe you'll come back, because I know how hard it is. Fortunately, this year we had more people running than we have been lately, but there's been a little bit of apathy prior to this on people running. So it's it's good to see people running, and it gives everybody an option. And anyway, thanks a lot, you guys, for your service. I'm going to be gone. I just got a call. I'm going to go actually be bringing the barge back that's going to be working on the railroad dock tomorrow. And so should be in Homer by Monday and probably be turning and burning, but it'll be a slower haul back, so it probably won't be back until the end of next week, I would imagine, if the weather stays good. But if you guys need to get together on the committee, I can probably call in Monday or Tuesday. But we should get going on that. We'll just wait for Mark to get back.
We can probably wait for
okay.
you to get back, Mike.
But, yeah, I mean,
don't want to forget.
We should get moving
today.
On it for sure. And then Marlene's discussion about bear-proof containers, I believe we need to look at. I know it's been a big issue because it's really hard for the public works guys to deal with that on the local pickup level. But I don't care how many times we go out and we kill a bear. The only reason they're coming into town is because we got trash there. And they're going to continue to propagate. And we can shoot them every time, and that's fine. I mean, once they come into town and start eating garbage, I think it's we got to get rid of them. But we need to really keep working on getting even better at what we've been already started. So those bear-proof containers, if there's a way that we can do it, it makes it easier on the public works crew. That we need to really go ahead and do that. We've got money in the budget, some money in the budget this year. I think we can move forward with figuring out a way, working with public works to come up with a way to come up with that. And then there's got to be some incentive or some way to, I believe there is a way, but we've got to be able to, deal with people that don't pay attention to that stuff too. And because that was a situation where there was just a bunch of trash in somebody's yard, and unfortunately Marlene happened to be walking by right then. And I've had the same issue with the same person in different areas, and there's got to be some way to deal with them because of that, or make sure that they don't do it again. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mike. Paul?
Thanks, Your Honor. First, I'd like to start off by thanking Tim. It's been a pleasure to serve up here with you. And Dave, on the phone there, 15 years is such a long time to give so much service and time and energy to the community. And just know that it's appreciated. And I've served on committees with both you guys over the last several years. And I've learned a lot and really appreciate working with you. And hope I get to do that in the future again. Somehow I feel like you guys are going to be back up here. So thank you.
Thanks,
Paul.
The
community appreciates it. Well, Mike kind of stole my thunder. The biggest thing I wanted to bring up was the bears. I would like to see the bear-proof trash cans revisited again. I know we kicked it around over the last year and two, and had an idea of how to retrofit cans that we already have. I don't know what happened to that idea. It was a good idea. It just didn't seem to go anywhere. But if we have to buy the cans, what's the cost of a life, as Marlene brought up? We can certainly do that. So I think that needs to be revisited. The chief told me the other day that to help combat this problem while the bears are in here, that he thought Public Works was picking up trash more regularly. And then I heard today that was not the case. So I guess I'd just like to ask the manager if he could ask Public Works if they could, I don't know if it's an everyday thing, every other day, but more frequently while bears are in town, the more trash we can get out of the alleys, the better, I think. So, if we can't get it's going to take a while before we get these cans, but if there's something that we can do now and it's, manpower that gets it done, then by all means, I think it's worth visiting that.
Yep.
Maybe it'll help save another incident of somebody in the alley. Thank you. And then also what Mike had said about some kind of penalty for people leaving the garbage out, like some kind of fines brought up, maybe, what, and we know what happens is people, they leave town and they just leave all the garbage out.
I think we got that in place, actually. We just need to look at that code.
Again. Yeah.
If those fines, we can certainly fine them. They can be, substantial fines. And whether those fines go on, before they get their business license for the following year, they've got to pay those outstanding fines, something like that. but we definitely need to revisit that. I'm going to be leaving town on the 8th of October. I'll be gone for 2 weeks. The next assembly meeting I'll be teleconferencing into. As far as the sprinkler grant ordinance goes, we're going to look at that. I'll talk to Chief Simmons before I leave and make sure he has a copy of that. And whoever gets appointed to public safety, I'll be in email contact with them.
That will be Assemblymember Hanson.
Hanson. Okay. Very good.
I'm what?
Talk to him as well.
Public safety.
Make sure that ordinance comes back to the table in 2 weeks.
Nice.
And that's all I've got.
And I did mean to mention, thank you, Paul, I did mean to mention that Gary's going to public safety and Steve's going to public works, and they will fill out the other committees of Dave Hans and Tim. I went by seniority order with the members of the assembly, and everyone was very comfortable with the chairmanships that they had. So you guys have some very responsible chairmanships to take over. And I've put Steve as the assembly liaison to the recycling committee, which means he will no longer have a vote, but he certainly can continue with the efforts that he's been putting forth on recycling. And one last thing, I will be gone from the 13th to the 17th. I intend to fly in for the meeting on the 18th. So you shouldn't have to stand in, but in case.
I wonder if we couldn't make one more appointment, which would be appointing Gary Hanson to the fixing the acoustics.
He has been assigned the he's the acoustic
chairman. Yeah.
He's the acoustic chairman, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think we have some money in the budget for that, Gary. Called West Creek Feasibility.
Wait till you get on the committee.
Okay. You're sworn in.
And I did want to mention something, and I don't know, Steve, maybe you can help me out. We've also had some moose chasing people in town. A cow and a calf, no, a cow and a bull out the railroad chased people for about 1,500 feet. And the other day when I was leaving town, there was a moose out by the state shop. And I'm wondering, who's putting all the apples out in Seventh Pasture? And the only reason I wonder is, can that be something that's an attractant for the bears?
Absolutely.
And the moose?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, there's a big compost pile out there. So it's not just bear-proof cans. It's wherever we're doing
composting.
Disposal and composting.
Yeah, yeah, it's composting.
We need to be cognizant of that. And people going into Seven Pastures now need to be aware that those bears and the moose now.
Can and be, the moose.
And it can be hanging out.
The only time I've had problems at my house with my compost is when I'm putting produce in like that. And I was up the ladder and a bear came running down the drain, this black bear. Looked over, there's a compost pile, and just sat down for scooping it up. Because when I had,
Somebody put Skagway apples, maybe two or three bushels of them, right at the north end. And, I mean, it's got to be an attractant. I mean, it's out of the way, but it's still something we need to be cognizant of.
We're going to contain that if we're going to do that. Some
other discussion. Well,
and, you know, I don't know if John has anything to say, but we never did hear from him. I think he was thinking he was going to do some talking later.
Well, he had some executive session stuff that we were going to use.
I'm sure he's fine. Right.
We're good.
That's
good.
Fine, then. I just didn't want to pass him by.
Well, I will add. The election or after, I don't know that exactly, but it's on their mind and they do want to come up. And I think also for the said mention trains because he loves trains. Every time he was up here,
well, we'll get him a train ride. That's
no problem. He loves trains. So he's a good point. And
I have been asked, and I will provide a letter of support to the Sitka Sentinel for Bill Thomas's reelection. Tom Cochran has agreed to sign the letter with me. I've reached out to Mayor Borsi, but he's not responded. Does anybody know if
he's in town? He'll be in town tomorrow. He's supposed to come in town today, so he'll be
right. Okay, all right.
But Bill should ask him.
Yeah, no, I'm going to send it to you tomorrow, and you can take a look at it and see what you think.
Sure, it's fine. And then, congrats on the new election. And I think we have a productive day today.
Yeah, it was a good day today.
Did you tell Senator Egan he owes me money when he comes here?
We did see him, too, actually.
It was on the record.
Is there any more business that needs to come before the assembly? Before
move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Okay, we are adjourned. Thanks, Dave.